Blog Talk Radio.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty? In the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice.
Welcome to another show, Beth Yahweh. I'm coming from Beth Yahweh's congregation, Baltimore, Maryland, under the tutelage of Rabbi Yaakov Ben Gershom Ben Daniel HaMashiach Yahushua, our spiritual leader. I'm your host this afternoon, Brother Shabbael. My government name, some know me as Brother Rob. I will be teaching an episode today. It's what we call in the Hebrew, Rosh Kodesh, in the English, New Moon. Today's date, according to Yahweh, the creator of the heaven and earth, and the sea and all that's in them, and under the on the earth, is Tibet the first. And today is the first day of the 10th month. The 10th month is Tibet. On the Gregorian calendar, today is the 25th December, the 12th month. For those of you who may not be familiar, this may be your first time tuning in. We encourage you at Beth Yahweh, all my brother Kohen, and our spiritual leader, Rabbi Yaakov, to have with you, if you don't have anything, at least have your holy Bible, Yahweh's holy word, so you can follow along. And some other tools that may be helpful, such as a highlighter, a pen, and a notepad, so that you can take notes. The good thing about this episode, these episodes on Blog Talk Radio, they are recorded and archived, so you can go back and glean from them and pull from them. And also you can go through a chronicle of various lessons besides this one today from all my other brother Kohen brothers, Brother Ariel, Brother Yariel, Brother Dayuel, Brother Ahabel, and Brother Yaakel. If you can hear me, send me a thumbs up, fam. Please, I appreciate that for anyone in the listening audience. Well, can't be anyone in the listening audience because they don't have my number. Apologize for that. Toda, thank you, Brad. I'm going to start off with an opening prayer. Hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and the mighty one of our forefathers, inauguration for us this month, for good and for blessings, for joy and for gladness, for salvation and for consolation, for sustenance and supreme supports, for good life and peace, for pardon of sin and forgiveness of iniquity. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, who sanctified Israel in the new moon. Amen. I also want to say a quick prayer to continue to remain your heart out. Father Yah, thank you for waking me up today, and thank you for waking up all of those who are listening on this line. Thank you, Father Yah, for guiding anyone who may be listening for the first time, Father Yah. They can receive some of your manna from up high, and you give them. They can hear your words, Father Yah, and hear them by one of your teachers, Father Yah, that gives your sound doctrine the way that you intended it, with your wisdom and your understanding behind it. Father Yah, open up my spiritual ears and spiritual eyes so I can decrease and increase and allow you to pour, speak through me, be your vessel of honor. Father Yah, forgive, continue to watch over our spiritual leader, Rabbi Yaakov, and strengthen him, Father Yah. Watch over all the Kohen, Father Yah. Kohen Yariel, Kohen Ariel, Kohen Mariel, Kohen Dayuel, continue to strengthen him and heal him as he healed. Kohen Shefutel, continue to strengthen him and as he heals, and watch over his family as they're going out of town, Father Yah. And Kohen Kanukal, watch over him. Watch over all our family members at Beth Yahweh. Strengthen our sisters in Beth Yahweh that they can fulfill the commission that's been put on their souls, Bats of Yahweh, which means daughter of Yahweh, the Titus II commission, tearing down the spirit of Jezebel that's hidden and disguised under independence and feminism now in this modern time. But y'all watch over our young adults and continue to let them stand firm and don't feel isolated. Father God, watch over our teenagers in this world. Strengthen them. Father Yah, strengthen all the marriages in Beth Yahweh, that they decrease and allow you to increase. And may they examine themselves. And may they allow you to examine them and correct them. Father Yah, most and foremost, let us always have the usual law of the Torah, Father Yah, to correct us and lead us and guide us. Watch over Sister Debbie. Continue to heal her. Well, y'all continue to bless all of our children, our siblings, and our co-workers and our neighbors in our neighborhoods, Father Yah. because you instructed us to be the salt of this world and the light of this world. And let not light us hide our lamps, Father Yah, so they can be seen throughout. And we thank you. If anything I forgot, Father Yah, and bless all of Israel, those who know and unknown. Bless those who are coming into the knowledge of knowing about Israel, but let them get the truth of Israel. Like, this is not some badge of honor of a color, ethnicity thing. This is a way of life, and also it's a duty, an obligation, a heavy responsibility, because why you entrusted Israel the oracles of your mighty word, Father Yah, and that we're supposed to be priests and teachers to all the nations that you spoke in Deuteronomy chapter 8. So let that be in mind for those people that are coming to this knowledge because of the things that we see in the media over these last few weeks and months. And I thank you, Father Yah, and your son, Yahushua, our soon coming King, in the name of Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. How are you today, family? Pray that everyone's doing good. No, it's been a little cold here in Baltimore, Maryland. A couple people had some power outages, but Yahweh provided for them, as he always do, as we'll see in this lesson today. This lesson was 3 o'clock. I suppose it came on 11. Forgive me. I forgot to notify our rabbi to remind him, because he has a lot of things that he's accomplished on doing. So I apologize for that. But nevertheless, we're on now. Yahweh will be done. Chodah, brother. Ahabel, he gave me a tongue. He said he can hear me loud and clear too. Chodah. Okay. Want to open up with some opening scriptures. This lesson today, the title of this lesson is, Stay With Your Family. I have to start writing a little more neat. As you heard in the opening prayer, I read Supreme. After, for consolation and for sustenance and Supreme. No, that was for support. But he is the supreme God for a good life, peace. Title of this lesson is Appreciation or Appropriation. Appreciation or Appropriation. I'm going to define them real quick because maybe I made a mistake. Maybe that's not what I want, but it came out of my mouth, so let's bear with me. Dictionary right in my hand. It's on the phone. Apologize, man. Technology. Beautiful. Like I said, appreciate, the word appreciation. Appreciation. I've been saying that lately, so I should have been proud. The word appreciation. From the dictionary, Oxford Language Dictionary, it says, it's a noun, recognition and enjoyment of the good qualities of someone or something. Similar, valuing, respect, or prizing, there's some other words, cherishing, treasuring, admiration, regard, and esteem, I like that. And the second definition, a full understanding of a situation. Similar, acknowledgement, recognition, realization, awareness, consciousness, cognizance. Kind of remember Brother Dale Well, beautiful lessons that he'd been giving, well, that he just completed his 6-week sessions, talking about how the senses and the mind. He was doing the senses of how the visual, the audio, the hearing, the smell, the taste. Beautiful lesson. If you get a chance, that's archived. That's on Blog Talk. It's under Brother Dale Well's a magnifying tour. Sensitivity, alertness, sympathy, understanding, comprehension, and perception and discernment. And what was the other word? Apologize. Am I even saying that right? Maybe. I know you probably said, brother, there is no word. I'm over here Googling myself. Appropriation. That's what appropriation. Let me spell it right. No, sorry. Appropriation. Okay, appropriation definition. Appropriation definition from the Oxford. It's a noun, the action of taking something for one's own use. Very good. Kind of tie into Brother Ariel's last segment of his 6-week lesson. Hebrew culture. That comes on Friday night. That's our car. That was a good lesson. You get a chance. You off the day anyway. Most people is, unless you went in and made double time. And like my job, I'm off tomorrow because by the when a holiday falls on Sunday, we get Monday. So hallelujah. So you got time to go back and listen to those 6 weeks, Brother Ariel concluded with Hebrew culture, and Brother Daywell completed with magnifying the Thor, and any other ones you want. Appropriation, action of taking something for his own use, typically without the owner's permission. Like that. Definition two, a sum of money or total of assets devoted to a special purpose. Okay. All right. Let me see if they can put them together. Like tell you like verses. Yeah, appreciation, appropriation. Okay. Appreciation is when someone seeks to understand and learn about another culture in an effort to broaden their perspective and connect with other cross cultures. Appropriation, I hope I'm saying that word right. If I'm saying that word right, somebody give me a thumbs up. Too bad this ain't like the tour portion, listen, conference call. Somebody click in, correct. No, brother, you're butchering it all up. That's not how you say it. Appropriation, on the other hand, is simply taking one aspect of a culture that is not your own and using it for your own personal interest. Yeah, that's the words I want. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's what I want. So I said that's the title of the lesson that Yahweh brought to my mind about 45 minutes ago. And he said everything happened for a reason. I'm kind of glad that I forgot to call Rabbi and didn't eat breakfast and stuff, because this wouldn't have came this way. Hallelujah. And something Rabbi said in his teaching, he taught yesterday the Torah portion. What he said is that when you do stuff, because I was doing this all the last 3 weeks, then it got changed and last week and then leading up to this week. Like I said, it just outlines. But you move because we supposedly be spirit-filled and spirit-led. So it's not my will, but Yahweh will be done. Because why? I don't know what a person on this other end of this line need to hear. And also I come to learn, and all my Kohen brothers can testify, these lessons are not just for the listening audience. They begin with us too, because why? We start working on them and the spirit starts working on us and through us to get us to a point. And then on the day of the teaching, as Rabbi brought out yesterday, how his lesson went a different way. He did his lesson yesterday, another segment of his lesson. And I forgot the title of that. I think I had that written down. Well, you know the title. And, you won't be able to go to Blog Talk and get that one. It's called Life. No, not Eddie Murphy, not the movie Life. Biblical Lifestyle. That's it. Biblical Lifestyles. Yeah, Biblical Lifestyle. Okay, what time is it? 3:19. Okay, that's enough. Okay, so we did all that. Oh, I said I got some opening scriptures, didn't I? Hallelujah. Let's keep this thing going right. Where did I write on that? Probably know where I'm going with this, with those, with that title, appropriation, and those appreciation. Title. Okay. I write notes too, so if you hear me talking or whatever, it's not, I don't have an assistant or nothing like that. We ain't got it like our angry cousins. You know, somebody like, read. You know, I'm in here with myself. I got about 3-4 Bibles and some books around and pens and pencils and highlights. So when you might hear me say, oh, you got some help. Yeah, I do. I got the Holy Spirit, but I'm helping myself too, because I'm telling myself, get that, give me that, hand me that, give me them glasses. Hallelujah. Okay, my scripture, my open scripture. I hope everybody have a good day. And also, since we're on this, hallelujah, since that came, that scripture came that way. I mean, that title from that way. Opening scripture would be Daniel. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 7, that came up, so we're going to definitely go to Daniel chapter 7. If not my will, Yah will be done. But we're going to read a Daniel chapter. We're going to start off and read a Daniel chapter. Chapter 9. I'm going to start in Daniel chapter 9. That's in the Old Testament. But you know I can help you too. My phone, let me use this other Bible. I can help you real quick. I can even talk you, I get you to Daniel chapter 9 real quick. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel was found in Daniel was found in the Old Testament book. You can go to the table of contents. Ain't nothing to be ashamed of that. Took me years before I knew what some books was at the Bible. But the good thing about it, you got a table of contents. If there's a table of contents in this book, might be missing because it's an old Bible. I use a lot. Pages might be somewhere else downstairs. No. Table of contents, the book of Daniel in this particular Bible is in brown. I'll start at page 762. It's an Old Testament book. So to help you out, you would go in the Old Testament and try to find a book of Psalms or Proverbs. Then put you kind of like in the middle, you know, those 66 books that they say. I'm not sure if that's 33 or 30, but I'm just saying you get in that middle right there, and then you start going through finding Isaiah, Jeremiah, the Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel come up. If you open it up and you found Jonah, you got to go back some. Jonah, Obadiah, and Daniel. Hallelujah. Okay, what verse I said? I think I said chapter 9, right? Okay, what's it? Might not be chapter 9, but we're going to go. Just read it. I know I got to be in Daniel. Okay, chapter 9. See, whatever I read, it won't hurt him. Daniel chapter 9, let's say verse 20. The book of Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 says, and he shall confirm the covenant. That's cool. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation and the detriment shall be poured upon the desolate. Okay, so it wasn't that one. But yes, that was one of them, because that'll go with Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. Matthew 24, 15 is in the New Testament. That's the first book in the New Testament. And you go to verse 24. And it's almost like if you went to Mark, you can go back four books because Matthew only got 28 chapters. And where Joshua gave a great commission, go ye out, all power, heaven and earth is given to me, because it's that he resurrected and gave the power of the Holy Spirit, fulfilled Shavuot, Pentecost. He put that on the people, he came and spoke to them, and then he is seated up into heaven. He said, all power of heaven and earth is given unto me. Go continue to teach all that I command and baptize in my name. Me and the Father's name. Amen. So that's a great commission. And so you go back, that's verse 20, chapter 28, last chapter. You go back four chapters, you'll be in Matthew 24, 21. That'll go with that Daniel 9. But it's another one in Daniel. Bear with me, I'm going to find it. What did I say? Nope. Daniel chapter 11, verse 36. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 36 says, hmm. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. He shall speak marvelous things against the god of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that that is determined shall be done. That was 30 cents. And Daniel, in Daniel chapter 11, verse 33, right in that chapter. And they understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they fall by the sword and by the flame, by captivity and squall in many days. And now I go to Daniel chapter 7. That's why that wasn't even on the notes, but we're going to read it. And hallelujah. Daniel chapter 7. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given unto his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. Amen. Okay, what time we got right there? Perfect time, 9:30 yet. We still doing scripture. Okay. Something else I want. I know. We read that, right? Also, it's something I should have brought up since we're doing the calendar, and it'd be appropriate for this lesson. What I say, I forgot to tell you that quick. So, appreciation or appropriation. Hallelujah. I better write that down. Excuse me, fam. Appreciation. Appreciation. Okay. This also during in this 10th month, on this first day, because at sunset yesterday, the new moon came in and ushered in the month. Oh, I should have read that scripture too, Father. That's Psalms 81, verse 3. Let me make sure that on what you said. First Samuel, Psalms 81, verse 3. I'm going to read that in your head. Then we're going to start. Come on. Book of Psalms is like right in the middle of that Bible, like I said. You look at your table contacts or your, you know, Psalms 83. So the person go, what are you talking about? Psalms 81, apologize. Case the person said, what are you talking about? A new moon day, a new moon class, oak of dust. We supposed to do that? Remember I said, most importantly, have your tools, and your tools as a Bible believer or a person that want to learn the ways of the Most High and see what thus says the Most High or someone else. Remember in those definitions of appreciation and appropriation, how I said culturally, and people could learn things and cognitive sense. And so you'll be able to follow and see. Like the Berereans in Acts chapter 17 speak about. They had their scriptures, and they searched their scriptures daily as the apostles, as the disciples of the Most High was teaching when they came through those cities, when they were setting up those churches on the first, crusade, but on their first mission, yeah, I can say journey. It was a journey. On their first mission, when they went to Ephesus, Thessalonica, you know, Rome, those places. Went to a place called Berereans. They just didn't take the word. They said, Dan, you said something? He said, yeah. Just like I was reading Daniel, they took the scroll and said, hold on, Daniel, you say that right there. Huh? That. Now they get ready to take the scroll. Psalms 81. What do you say, Psalms 81? Why they do the new moon? 2 Timothy 2, 2, 2:15 says it came to my mouth. Says study to show yourself approved to God, not man. I made that error before I came this way. Prove yourself, study to show yourself approved to God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be not ashamed like a worksman. So that's what you have to do in this. You have to know how to go through this word with God's Spirit leading and guiding you, and not taking this scriptures and making them fit and twist them out of destruction, like 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 17 say. Those who don't understand Brother Paul's writing, Peter said, they weren't taught under someone but set by God. They'll take the scriptures and force them to fit things and traditions and customs that they want. But they're pulling people away from the Most High, the will of God, the acceptable will of God that he wants, a way that he laid out for his people through his servants, the prophets, the lawgiver Moshe. That's what can happen. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, 17, Rabbi used it yesterday. We go in this word, so why we give the people the hope, why we believe, why you wear the fringes, why you don't celebrate Easter, why you don't eat ham, why you don't celebrate Christmas, why you don't have a tree in front of your dining room or your living room window or decorate on your front porch. And your front porch don't have joy to the world or nativity scene or some reindeers and a Santa Claus. I ain't gonna mess with Frosty because Yahweh made the snow, but you can't be idolizing and bowing down to Frosty either. So, you know, that's when I have a problem with Frosty the Snowman. But yeah, so and why you wear your veil to the sisters of Beth Yahweh, know that they cover when they read that word, the holy word of God. They veil up. Why are brothers wear those fringes, those strings, those tassels hanging on the four corners of their pants? The way that Yahweh say in Numbers chapter 15, verse 37 to 40. Not like some brothers have them all the way around them like that. That's not what he said. He told Moses, he gave them specifics. So that's why you study to show yourself approved. Be not ashamed like a workman, rightly divide the word of truth. You have to find and go through this word and be led by the Spirit to do these things. Why you honor the Sabbath? Why you go worship God on the Sabbath, which we call Saturday now, the seventh day, because that's found in the Bible. That's when he gave it. Before there was known a Jew, a Christian, a Muslim, before any of that was known, he made a man in his image called Adam, and he gave him a wife. The first holy matrimony what God considered a marriage between a man and a woman, and he gave them a place they lived in, it, Garden of Eden. But he also, after he did all this work and let Adam name animals and all that, he gave them a rest day that they can come and fellowship and commune with him on the seventh day. And that rest day has still been the same. It hasn't changed. That's why Mark can tell you about Mark chapter 7, I think it is. Yahweh made the Sabbath for man and not the man for the Sabbath. Because see, if he made the man for the Sabbath, then he can say it's for a Jew. It's for a person, this and that. No, so, and therefore it can be changed. Because you can say, I'm not a Jew. I'm a Christian, or I'm a Muslim, or I'm a, no, that's why I made the Sabbath for man. So right there, before any man was made, he created this before mankind was even made and formed, and the breath of life, the Ruach, was blown in him at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, because he made him, but he didn't have no life in him, no substance, and then that's when he blew his breath in him and became alive, hallelujah. So that's why we do these things. Let me get back to why we're doing this new moon. Psalms 81, verse 3. I apologize for going off on that. 81, verse 1. The chief musician upon the gittith, a psalm of Asaph. Sing aloud unto the mighty one, Yahweh, Elohim, our strength. Make a joyful noise, hallelujah, unto Yahweh of Jacob. take the Psalms and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Verse 3, blow up the trumpet. That word trumpet is a shofar. It would sound like this. You missed the beginning of the program. That's what I was blowing. Blow up a shofar or trumpet in the new moon. Remember I told you the day is Rosh Kodesh, the new moon, the first sliver of light, the first light of this new moon, because the moon goes through 29 or 30 phases that Yahweh prescribed or ordained it to do. In the appointed time on your solemn feast day, for this was a statute for Israel and the law of God of Jacob. He ordained this for the test for in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. Amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 5 and 6, I'm just going to tell you that. Save up time because now it's past 3:30. It should be in the lesson. 1 Samuel 20, verse 5. I'm going to go there because I don't like doing that. I'm going to read this to your head. 1 Samuel is in the New Testament. You can find that right after you get out of you got the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. That book Joshua really, for those who don't know it, that's really the book of Yahshua, because that's his name. His name is Yahshua. That's what that angel Gabriel came and told her. You blessed and highly favored, Miriam. Her name, Miriam. Yeah, no need to feel bitter, baby girl. You can really have Yahshua. She knew when she heard that. That name Yahshua means salvation or Yah, because God's name is Yahweh. At the book of Judges, the book of Joshua with Yahshua. And after that, you got Judges. And after Judges, you come into Samuel. Yeah. Well, 1 Samuel chapter 20 reads like this. I'm going in for a reason because I'm going to show you rightly divided. We're showing everybody how you follow the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:15 says what we're doing right now. I'm going to make things boring for new listeners because this ain't, trust me, I came from Christian churches, Catholic, Baptist, non-denomination, Seventh-day Adventist. Hallelujah, though. He got me off the broad road to the narrow straight path. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 5 states like this. If anybody familiar with that, King David, he was on the run because King Saul, the first king of Israel, a spirit came over him, and he wanted to kill David. And Saul had his son named Jonathan. Him and David were homeboys, posse's, peace, diehard brothers. They made a vow. If people take this out of context, what that word I learned this week? I'm going to butcher that up. Eisegesis. I think that's the right word. Yeah. See, when you do eisegesis, I'm going to Google that, make sure I say that right. That's how cults form, because you fit your beliefs, and making it fit, like 2 Peter 3:15 and 17, like Peter said about people that don't understand Paul writing, they tell you Paul say, we ain't under the law. That's a lie. Paul would have never violated and broke a law. They tell you Paul, a male chauvinist, because he said 1 Corinthians 14, a woman should learn in silence and ask her a man. They tell you because he told young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, or 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 15, that a woman should not usurp authority. That means a woman should not be pastoring over a flock. That's what he said. But see, now that people say in these terms now, Paul's a male chauvinist. Paul was gay. That's why he felt like he had a problem with women. No, he had a problem with obeying the word of the Most High. Hallelujah. And so people will take this verse here, because David and Jonathan said they had a love like a man and a woman. That's because that's how they was homeboys. We all have homeboys like that, but not like a man and a woman. Like, no, it wasn't no sex going on between David and Jonathan. Not between them. It was just that the friendship was like that. And so that points to, what's that, Proverbs 18, I think 22, 23, that he shows his self-friendly. There's a friend that stick closer than a brother. And that friend, and I got five big brothers, that friend is Yahushua, the Mashiach, hallelujah, the Son of God. But we're going to go to 1 Samuel 20, verse 5. And David said unto Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is the new moon. Hallelujah. I should not fail to sit with the king at the meat, talking about sitting next to Solomon's table. But let me go that I may hide myself in the field until the third day at evening. The third day. I seen something in that when I was writing these notes, but I don't have it all yet. Verse 6, if the father at all missed me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me, he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there's a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. So right there, that's why we do new moon, because it's in the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:15, to all scriptures, that's Old Testament, New Testament, and some of the books that they call hidden, the word called Apocrypha, they're not hidden, they was removed. I want to know, maybe that means removed in the Hebrew. I got to ask my Hebrew teachers. But that some books have been removed because some books were with inspired writings of the Most High. Because why? How you can check them? Say, oh, brother, you make me pulling up books. Mm-mm. How you check them? We got a format. We got a listing test that we can check them with. Because Isaiah say this, Isaiah 8:20. Hang everything on the law and the testimony. If they don't speak of them, there is no light in them. See, people in the world we live in now, they have a tendency to go, well, history says this and science says this. But the Bible don't even say that. So that can't be true. No, you got it wrong, baby. God was around before any man. Any man had, he gave him all the material to make books, pens, pads, and all that. He gave the man the mind that accumulates some knowledge, even if it's false knowledledge, or whether it is true knowledge, to make himself feel like he's smart in the degree that he got the paper written on, gave to him that he hung up in his office and he had to feel proud of. Oh, let's get that right. If God said in his Bible and then the signs don't have it in their books or whatever, they're wrong. Let God be the truth and all man be a liar. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 3. And what's that, Numbers chapter what, 23, verse 19, God is a man not to lie, the son of man neither to repent, hallelujah. So that's why we do what we do on this day. So now the next verse, now we're going to get into what the lesson is. Okay, appreciation or appropriation. And what's that term? Let's Google that term too. I know you probably said, what's the term? Well, anybody know, I'll butcher up a word. But now this technology ain't too bad. And what I say, ISA, yes, you got to spell it right too, though. They try ISA. I'm sure it ain't spelled like that. ISA, Jesus. No, they can't be it. And maybe it's an E. ISA, Jesus. It's a word, well, maybe if I find this one. I know this one got to be. Exegesis, that's one of them. So I got to find it. It's another one. What we do here at Beth Yahweh falls under exegesis. Exegesis, the term, it's literally generic. It's exegesis is a critical explanation of interpretation of a text. Hallelujah. The term is traditionally applied to interpretation of biblical works. That's what Peter was saying in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 17. Those that are not set unto someone that was called by God and unlearned, they won't understand Brother Paul's writing. Not only Brother Paul, they won't understand Jeremiah, none of these prophets in here. They won't understand none of these brothers on Beth Yahweh blog talk. Brother Dayuel, Brother Ahabel, Brother Yaka'el, Brother Ariel, Brother Uriel, and the other brothers that don't teach, but they still Kohen. When I say they don't teach on those lines, not, at least not as yet. We don't know what Yahweh going to move in the next upcoming season. Brother Muriel and Brother Shafu'el and Brother Kanuka, he will start teaching this upcoming year. Hallelujah. So if they not sit and learn under the Holy Spirit, whatever, they won't understand them, brothers. And they right now in 2022. Soon to be 2023, they say. As people say, these times, not in the Bible time, we still in Bible time, but Matthew 5 said, until heaven and earth disappear, every word and jot and tittle of this Bible has to be fulfilled. And that sun and sky is still out there, so we still in Bible time. We just 2,000 or 3,000 years after Moshe, 5,000 or 6,000 years after Adam and Eve, 4,000 years after Jeremiah. You get where I'm coming from. We still in Bible time because it ain't over yet. Okay, there's another word, though. What I said the other word is? The opposite. Maybe this will help me. The opposite of exegesis. Okay, that is that word. I had it all spelled wrong. It's spelled with an E, too. I had I. Well, I'm thinking because of the way it's pronounced. The biblical exegesis, the opposite of exegesis, to draw out eisegesis, to draw in, to sense of an eisegetic commentator, importing or drawing in their own subjective interpretations into the text unsupported by the text itself. Basically what it's saying, they're taking and twisting and making up doctrines of demons and men. Unsound doctrine, like Timothy told us, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, a time will come where people will fall away from sound true doctrine, the word of God, to hear itchy ear teachings, things that soothing and comfortable to the. And it is a way that seems right with Proverbs 16:24. I think it is. You know, I might not have it, but you phone now, I'll tell you where it's at. But I said I was going to stop telling you where exactly to go anyway, because in the process of defining it, if I just give you a book, you'll see some other things God will show you. That's how he showed me. But there's a way that seems right and a way that seems to death. And that's what's happening now in these terms. All right, 347. Again, let me write the words down the correct way, too. I apologize if I didn't even say that right. And what's that one? That's what's happening now. We gonna get a good display of and I can't make it talk for me because I think when I'm on my phone, because I ain't on the iTeam, I'm on the Android team. It usually will pronounce a word for me, but I think if I'm on the phone, it ain't gonna pronounce it. I better say it right. But apologize for that one. Okay. Okay, brother Ahabel, he gonna help me say it. That brother smart, he obtained stuff from the kindergarten. Oh, can we say amen, amen, hallelujah? Yes, he's encouraging me. I know I said that word wrong. Okay. All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Aki. Appreciate it. Okay, now where we at? Oh, today. It started last week on Sunday at sunset, which is on the Gregorian calendar. The 18th on the Gregorian calendar last week. But last week on Yahweh's calendar, it was in the Gregorian calendar, it was the 12th month on the 18th day of December, Gregorian calendar at sunset. But on Yahweh's calendar, last Sunday at sunset was the 25th of Kislew, the 9th month. And that word is C-H-I-S-L-E-U. So you'll be able to find that in the scriptures, because say he said everything they do, they don't do it eisegesis. We do it exegesis. We don't make no interpretations to make something fit to make you believe. You either going to believe or you not going to believe. Here at Beth Yahweh, we teach the unadulterated, uncut word of Yah, because that's the only way you're going to get healed. Can't get healed with smooth, sweet sand. That'll lead you to death, to the pit of hell. We support Isaiah 26. I can't think of that now, but that shirt running through my mind. We got a shirt at Beth Yahweh. There was a brother named Tumar, artist. He drew that joker. There was a brother standing on a wall with a shofar like that, and said, we support Isaiah. We stand firmly and believe in that. Matter of fact, I want that verse. Come on, go with me upstairs. I hope if I lose you, bear with me because I'm going to come right back down. Sometimes it's dead spots in here. Wouldn't that shirt not be here when I want it? Oh, well. Everybody know what the shirt was. Oh, that's something wrong. Shirt been up there ever since I moved in. Hallelujah. Isaiah 20:28, Beth Yahweh mission. One of Beth Yahweh's mission. Beth Yahweh Mission, who is Beth Yahweh as a Bible-believing congregation of the nation of Israel with faith in Yahushua HaMashiach. At Beth Yahweh, we strive to take the word of Elohim to another level, believing Isaiah 28:9-10, literally. Hallelujah. I hope I didn't lose nobody going up there getting that, but that came across my mind. 350. Okay, so where were we at? Okay. The 25th of Kislew in the ninth month was the first day of a festival called Hanukkah. Hanukkah. It can be spelled C-H-A-N, and it can be spelled H-A-N-U-K-K-A-H. Hanukkah, the C-H one, you'll find that like in the book of Genesis, is Enoch, Hunak. It's a person named Enoch. There's two people in there named Enoch. But you'll see that's trans in Hebrew. It's like his name like that. Hallelujah. And the first day started at sunset Sunday. Today is the seventh day. When the new moon came in last night of the 10th month, was the seventh day of it. Today at sunset will be Tibet the second. It'll also be Tibet the second, but it'll also be the eighth and the last day of Hanukkah, an eight-day celebration, a feast. It's not one of the holy days found in Leviticus 23. That's where you find all the God holy days. But this is a permissible holiday. You could say a day, observe it, a festival, commemorable of things that the nation of Israel overcame. Because the nation of Israel always been persecuted and been under hunt because of why our forefathers were disobedient, as the brothers been bringing out. We turned away from the God, our God, and went and worship other gods and nations. We want adultery. That's why Yahweh say in his 10 commandments in Exodus chapter 20, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's what that adultery he made. Going after another, worshiping another God when you know I'm the one that delivered you and saved you and sustained you and gave you food for 40 years, fell out the sky, manna in a desert, gave you water out of a rock with nowhere to go in a desert, made your shoes. You find all this in Exodus, starting in Exodus chapter 12. They came out of Egyptian. It was an Egyptian bondage for 400 years. And then you read in Deuteronomy, you said, well, I prove you. I suffered you not to give you no food or whatever, no drink or nothing. So you won't be thinking you was drunk or you ate too much and had a dream. He said, I did all those things for you to show you who I am. But you still want to turn and worship other God or don't believe me. That's the God we serve. And so what happened, like I said, this Hanukkah feast in the ninth month, Kislev, and there's another one in the 12th month. The Israelites were going to be slaughtered by a man named Haman. That story is found in the book of Esther. Good little read too. And they had a 2-day commemoration that Yahweh had found permissible and that allowed. So people are saying, well, hold up, brother, you said y'all only do things what the Bible say, and you don't do Christmas. You know, like Christmas can't be found in there. That's true, but you will find Purim in there in the book of Esther, and you'll find Hanukkah. I'm going to show you where Hanukkah is. And what those days point to, what people don't understand, those days point to of a deliverance that God, once again, is the God who we say he is. I'll be your, you be my people, I'll be your God. But the God that God is, he's not a tit for tat God. He got unconditional love. Why? Even though you disobeyed me and went and hoard and worship other gods and ate things that I said do not defile, that's detestable to me, eating unclean animals, you'll find that unclean foods to God is considered any shellfish that don't have scale, any seafood that don't have no scales of fish, so yet shrimp, crab, lobster, all that stuff, them delicacies that they charge you an arm and a leg for, you ain't supposed to be eating them anyway. Yeah. Yup. Catfish, tilapia, all that. Oysters, clams. Yup. I know if you say, well, oysters, that help your mojo, your aphrodite, your, I don't even want to use the word aphrodite, your sex drive. Pray to Yahweh. He'll help your sex drive too, and drink some water. And go for some walks and pray. And maybe ask Yahweh, maybe Yahweh might want you to calm down on your sex drive. Maybe he might say, all right, just chill. You know. And all, he made it anyway, right? He made it to be enjoyed. So maybe you question that. Like, oh, well, maybe am I doing anything? And sometimes, no, you're not doing anything. You could be doing everything right. Wait on Yahweh. Trust in Yahweh in all things. Ain't nothing small or big to him. Everything. And what did he say in Genesis? What was it, 19, 18, 19, 13, 18? It was, sir, no, not sir. Yeah. Is there anything too hard for me? Ain't nothing too hard for him. Jeremiah 32 came along. Jeremiah said, you the creator of heaven, and nothing too hard for you. That's what we had to believe for people to find out. It's nothing too hard for Yahweh, this God we serve. That's why he gave you these scriptures and these Bibles and these things, these stories and these accounts. That's his resume to show, like, you going through a problem, turn? What is it? It's something. I got something for that too. Right there. If you don't know where it's at, that's why he said in Malachi chapter 2:10, seek the law for the priest's lips. That's why he said, I can worship God all by myself in my home. You don't need to go to no church. That's a lie from the devil. You don't even have an idea. What you grew up and thinking is holy, that's not holy. My sweet grandmother, she used to believe that too. Never seen that in the church. Never seen. Yeah, she listened to that little church on the radio, and then it came on TV, that little black and white. But grandma had no idea about no God. Nope. Yeah, my grandmother, I keep it real. I use my own family. So nobody else feelings won't get hurt. You can stay in denial with your family. I keep it real. Nope. Hebrews chapter 10, 25, 26 says, forsake not yourself the assembly. Right there, they cut it down. We can go back to Genesis, to before with anybody claiming a Christian. I'm Episcopalian, Lutheran, Hebrew. Adam and Eve said, on the seventh day, God said, rest, come in. That word rest, you looked at bad boy. He did that 7 days different than any other day. He sanctified and blessed it and said, that's a special day. Okay, we're getting back to it so we don't get lost on this. The day of sunset will be the last day of that Hanukkah, and also be the second of Tibet. To go right, what they got to do with your lesson title? Should have titled Hanukkah. Appreciation or appropriation. Remember those definitions? And remember I came across a word I was butchered up? Exegesis and eisegesis. Jesus. I think that was kind of close. Okay. Where you find that in the scriptures? Bro, it ain't in no scriptures. Huh? You'll find that in John, the book of John, chapter 10, verse 22. And what went on in that, I've read this account so much, and so much. All I ever seen was John 10, 22 to prove something to somebody. Like, see, there it is right here. Why are you doing Christmas? That ain't in the Bible. But it don't say Hanukkah. It say the Feast of Dedication. But when you look that word up, dedication in Hebrew means Hanukkah. Dedicate. So what that mean? He was on Solomon's porch on the Feast of Dedication. But that's all that gives you. So that's where now these cell phones and technology can be a curse and a blessing. You can use them now. Because why? A lot of people don't have those other books. Like I told you, I said I got a book, other books. And where you'll find that account to give you some background history of Hanukkah is in a book called First Maccabees, chapter 4. Now, First Maccabees, chapter 4, I believe, starting in verse 36 to verse 59, gives you the account of Hanukkah. I always read that, and you know, like, and that's the one I always want to give people, you know, information on that. Now, you'll find where I found a discrepancy in a couple book places. Some people say it was 143, and some places say it was 167, 168. But the point is, was an event that took place against the Jews, the annihilation of the Jews. Because see, before what went on, it was a priest named Eleazar, an old elder, and he refused to defile his body and eat pork. Because it was a tyrant, it was a king came through named, I don't want to butcher this man's name up, but I wrote it down. His name was, should have wrote it down. I got it, I'm taking a shot. I wrote it down here somewhere. Oh, His name was Antiochus the Fourth, or Epiphanes. That man name is that name Epiphanes. That man gave himself that name, means God manifest. I found that interesting when I researched that. So what went on during that period? You'll read in the first book of Maccabees. You'll read that he came through from some of his campaigns, because he was under a great leader called Alexander the Great. Now, that's in history. See how people will tell you, well, if it ain't history, I don't know about, you know, the Bible or whatever. Well, I know Alexander the Great in history because I remember hearing that in school. Mm-hmm. It's funny how they can put certain things right, but then omit some other things. But right there, Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great, he passed on. But before he passed on, he had a vision. Because he was taking all these territories and he's conquering, bam. Before he was 33 years old, that's what it said. He said, but they considered him a wise diplomat. And he understood something, and we see it right now in the modern time. He understood the best way to ensure a united kingdom, unity, was to create a universal culture that spoke the same language, learned the same philosophies, and experienced the same pleasure and worshiped the same God. So what that mean, Brother Rob? Remember in Genesis chapter 10, remember someone named Nimrod. He was a great warrior too. Remember the languages got confound. Languages got confound so that they couldn't build and be strong. What a philosophies. We see that nowadays everything is scholar, which is nothing wrong with scholarships. It was three things I forgot. The brother Rabbi always taught Brother Abel and Brother Danwell didn't come to me. One of the brothers texted to you, one of them lied. Well, I apologize for those that ain't on those lines. It was materialism, scholarship, or intellectualism, and something else. And what's another one? Pleasures, or worshiping the same God. So what is that? Pleasures, worshiping the same God, whatever. So we see right now in the world we live in now, if you look at a percentage, I forgot to get a percentage, but you can find it. I forgot how much percentage people that are Christians all over the world or versus other religions. So a lot of people are in Islam, Muslim. A lot of people are in the inception under the belief that the more the merrier, it must be true if there's more, the majority rules. No, that's not true. So the lifestyles, that's a weapon. And what else we see happening right now? We see it going on in the world we live now. That sounds familiar, right? What's been kicking around in our time age? It's something similar just like that. What we call what? A one world order, right? How they want one person. And you see this little slogan, I think it's called coexist. All kinds of religions together. You know, Buddha, Jews, Christian, Hindu, Islam, you name it, Wiccan. And also we have some now, you see, becomes once a year or whatever, international day of prayer. Everybody get together and pray. Amos 3:3, chop that down. You get a time, you go look in Amos 3:3. It was beautiful how Brother Yaakov, you brought that out in his lesson yesterday. Y'all remember, he said, look up a word, wudu. 3:3 means, that word means twist. And then he said, ask it. Then he said, turn to its kind. It took me back to Genesis. Because Yahweh made everything in the first days of creation, the first 7 days of creation, or 6 days, he took a rest on that seventh day, sir. And he said, after its kind, it bear fruit after its kind. You know, the fruit, the specific animals, specific birds, and mankind, who topped it off his crown, the ass. He said, very good, after its kind. So how can a person with two or more agree together? They have to be after its kind, after its maker, the same way. Can't be all over the place, because 1 Corinthians 14:33 says Yahweh ain't the author of confusion. Okay, but getting back to what we said, so the term now, what we hear now in the modern day world, is called what? Hellenization. It was called Hellenization then, and it's still the same now, because that's what it's doing. It's trying to do a complete culture change of the ways of the Most High. And right now, that's the biggest challenge for people that's really trying to follow the Most High. When I say that, I mean you following, obeying that Torah, laws, and ways, not what looks righteous or religious. Like I said, the way that looks right. I mean, excuse me, the way that looks right. There's a way that seems right, but that way is death. Yahweh gave you the way to worship Him, what's holy and acceptable to Him, through His books and His Torah. So what else we can learn from that? Like I said, that new world order. So how it goes, I did some research on it. The dude Antiochus, right? He was told he had to come back from one of his campaigns. He told him, like, hey, stop. He wanted to take over Egypt. So he was mad. So on his way back, with his disappointment, you know how people are, get angry. You know where he passed through, don't you? Yeah, he passed through Israel. That's what the story said. And he decided to take out his frustration and his troubles on the Jewish people. So basically who he's taking it out on Yahweh, and he's not aware of that. But he soon came to find out, and you read up on this brother, because he's in the history chronicles. And so what he do, he tried to reaffirm his leader, Alexander the Great dream, of making a one world of people. Like you said, that one world order that we're seeing now, that same spirit keep rising up. So Antioch, he decreed that all the Jews would have to change from their way, you know, the way they live. It was forbidden under penalty of death. That's what we read about in 1 Maccabees chapter 7. The woman had 7 sons, and they all got tormented and died. And that priest Eleazar did too, but they did not conform. They did not transform. Like Paul said, they definitely fulfilled Romans 12, 1. Brother Dale Well opened the scripture yesterday morning. One of his open scriptures yesterday morning. It said, be ye transformed. Be ye transformed, but not conformed into this world. Let your life be a living holy sacrifice unto God. In 1 Maccabees chapter 7, those 7 brothers and their mother, they definitely fulfilled that. So Antioch, he forbidden them under the penalty of death from circumcising their newborns. That's a covenant right there, making them break and violate the covenant of Yah. And why? Yahweh gave it to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17. Because this was a sign. That covenant still goes on. Now, a grown man don't have to get that if you come into this faith. But if you in this faith and you have a grandson or you have a son, on the 8th day, you see that you go to Genesis 17. That's when they're supposed to be circumcised. And there's some good health reasons for Yahweh did that, because it's something in the prothema, I'm messing that word up, apologize. Prothema, it's your blood, and it stops your pain. I witnessed a circumcision. Brother Aha Bell had his first son. I ain't putting your business out there. He's a teenager now, you know, he's a big man now, but yep, I witnessed, and he didn't cry at all. Because his father obeyed the ways of Yahweh. On the 8th day, he had a circumcision. And on the 8th day, when you do that, he's not the only one I witnessed. None of them had that much pain. And how you know he was a baby, they ain't talk. Usually a baby gives you some signs, though, don't they? That's their way of, you know, that know I'm in pain. But yeah. So he forbidden them from circumcision their newborn, forbidden them from celebrating their Jewish festival, like what we doing now. Came in last night now with new moon, right? It's a solid feast. And forbidden them to keep the Sabbath. That's the day that God gave, the holy weekly Sabbath. And offering a daily sacrifice and reading and possessing their own Torah, their own holy Bible. That's what he came in and told them. And if you get caught with that, you were going to die. And then how Hanukkah come along is what he do. Every location that he was at, he erected an altar dedicated to Zeus, the chief of the Greek gods. And on those altars, he put swine, unclean food, unclean animal that God says not to eat. You find it in Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 14, Acts chapter 10. Peter had a vision. And in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, if anybody says, well, that was back then. Now, Revelation chapter 17, verse 3, or 18, verse 3. That's the book he told John while he was on the island of Patmos after 40 or 50 years that he resurrected, and he called it an unclean bird. So the dietary law is still going. Nothing got nailed to the cross. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 and 16, and people try to say, or Hebrews chapter 10, people try to say it's a shadow. Those things are shadows. You can do them now. No, you can't. They were partially fulfilled things, but they're not obsolete. There's still other things you can get from those things. And so that's how. So what happened was Hanukkah came about because why? On the 25th day of Kislev, that's when he desecrated the altar and the temple. They went in the temple and they took the furnace, it's the only instrument of vessel. We heard that sound familiar before. Remember when Judah went into captivity, when Nebuchadnezzar, you find that in Jeremiah, starting chapter 7, I think it was Jeremiah chapter 43, around it. Jeremiah came in and took over. Jeremiah. Nebuchadnezzar came in and took over and took the instruments of Yahweh out of that temple and led the people into captivity, the Babylon captivity. That's where Daniel, hallelujah, that's why I had Daniel as open scripture. I might have read the wrong one, though, but that's why Daniel came in. Right. So it's not the first time you hear about it, but when the temple got destroyed, overtaken back in the month of Av during Nebuchadnezzar day. This happened to the guy and Antioch the Fourth Epiphanes, who called himself God manifested, and he defiled that temple on the date, the 25th of Kislev, 168 BC. Like I said, some places say 143, 148, but the point is, this account still is true. And so he prevented them from keeping the ways with time at 412 good. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody sent me something. Apologize. I should have been looking. How about said all good? So I guess the time must be good. I ain't going to keep you long. I keep and I coach. I mean, brothers and sisters. I'll get ready to say so. Nah, I know y'all ain't getting, they brought nobody Christmas. So we don't do that. We don't get to that. anyway, he came in to file that thing, so Hellenization step crept in. And now Hellenization is still creeping in now today as we speak. And so what he did, he made life kind of difficult for Jews. So why you had to make a decision? Because this decision you had to make, like Moses told him in Deuteronomy, choose you today, fire or water, death or life. Right then, like now, we had decisions now. We told not to travel the fence, to be lukewarm, right? But and Elijah came along with 1 Kings chapter 17, 18, Elijah, and he built an altar, and told them, he challenged the 900 prophets of Baal, 850 prophets of Baal, and he told them, whoever God liked the altar, that's who God would be. And he did that to more so just to get their attention, like we learned about the mixed multitude that came out of Egypt when Yahweh did his 10 plagues. They said 600,000 Israelites came out with a number of a mixed multitude, unknown. So that was millions of people came out of there. The Egyptians lived there, and they seen these 10 plagues. They seen that water turn to blood. They seen frogs come pestilence. They seen lice, boils. They seen gnats. I'm missing something. They saying they livestock fall with sickness, pestilence, and sickness and disease. They seen everything get devoured by locusts. But Yahweh was so faithful, brother Uriel taught years ago, that Yahweh sent the locusts. The wild locusts is in the clean food list, Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 14. So Yahweh is a merciful God, eh? They could eat the locusts, because the locusts devoured everything. And then not only that, he made it so dark that they couldn't even, see, for every man had to stand still wherever he was at when God put that darkness for 3 days. But it was a light in Goshen. Hallelujah. A light overshining in Goshen. And then the last 10th one, he said, to prove who he is and to beat all those gods of the Egyptians, the top 10 gods, to beat them, what did he do? He took the death of the firstborn of everything. Cat, dog, roach, mice, cow, donkey, man, lady, boy, yep. He took that. He did that. I guess payback is something, huh? But if you remember when he was down there in Egypt, that one servant said, who is this God, Yahweh? These people are getting strong. Yeah, told the midwives, every baby come out there, male baby, throw them in the water and kill them. So I guess Yahweh had to come back and show them, like, did that to my people? I was wondering, is that why the first plague he told Moses and Aaron to do, turn the water into blood? I guess he's like, you throwing my people up in there, you throwing all my blood up in that water, huh? I don't know, I can't say that's true, and I would get that revelation to one of the other brothers, so that's just something I had to come across from my study. Hallelujah. But yeah, he made it very difficult for people. So you had to make a choice back then. You had to come to a compromise. You had to weigh your options. And just like nowadays, we had that too, but it's not as difficult. Now, they do mess with our living. Like, they cause you may have to leave your job because they may want you to take a vaccine, an unknown vaccine. I'm not against vaccines. I'm against ones that have been tested and proven for over, been under study for 7 or 11 years. I'm not letting you put no anything. I believe in miracles from God, but not man. And these people, that was a miracle from a God, Vasily. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Don't put God in it. See, nowadays, everybody wants to throw God in it. That was from God. That's why he said, let's take the Bible and prove. Let's see. If this was God, what's in this vaccine? Can I see the ingredients? Shrimp, shell, food, pig, whatever. Nah, pass. This ain't from God. How do you know? Because God told me don't eat these type of animals. So let alone put them in a vaccine that's going to heal me. That's why I tell you to read your Bible, family, and listeners out there. You serve a mighty God. So you don't be caught off guard or you be confused and you frightened and scared. I know things can happen, but that's what that tour for. That's why you stand on that rock. Hallelujah. So people had to compromise back and they had to accept Greek culture. And they had to take Greek names. And we're seeing something now because we in this thing now. Everybody want to come out that's a black African American, whatever. Like, I'm Hebrew. I'm Israelite, brother. I'm Hebrew. Yeah. I had to tell a sister I met a week ago. I was wondering what she was looking at. I'm like, hey, my work folks looked at me. And they said, it's not too many times you see one of us. I'm like, what? I'm the first thing come up my like, where's she? Man, you don't see no niggas. You know, apologize. That's what, you know, they call people, you know, aware, like, look like me, my skin hue, whatever. I'm like, where you come from? Where you don't see too many of us, you know, black folk. But she was talking because I had my tassels on. Because, see, I got to wear them tassels that I told you that God told Moses to tell the men. And that's a garment of men. You find it in Deuteronomy chapter 20. That's a garment of men. Like, women have a garment of a veil covering. Yeah. And Numbers 15, verse 37 to 40. And I said, yeah. But the sister stated, you know, like, yeah, because I'm learning. And it's good. And we have to know. And the Holy Spirit told me, like, tell her right now. So she don't go on this walk. And go, you know, and find out she'd be disappointed. I said, sis, this ain't about what, it's good to know your heritage or whatever, but this more than a color thing, like Brother Dale Will brought out yesterday, and Brother Ahabel brought out his message 6 weeks ago. And he'd be back around this Saturday, hallelujah, that I know of. And he brought that thing out so eloquently. This thing ain't about no color thing. Yeah, Brother Dale Will brought it out. Of course, it is people of color, like Brother Yafel brought it out. But there's more to it than this. I had some sisters. This is a way of life. This is a testimony and being a witness for the Most High. And also, you had the oracles, and you've been given, as Romans 3 says, you've been given the ways of the Most High, so you'd be teachers and priests of the nation. So it's not so much walking around like, I'm black, I'm an Israelite, this way. You beneath me. No, you're supposed to do just like Yahshua HaMashiach said. Who is the greatest amongst you? Let him be the servant. That's in Mark chapter 13, I believe it was. And what I'm going at with that, after they had that feast of Passover, right, that Passover, it said he got up and girded his clothes and grabbed a cloth and got down and washed, left 12 disciples, 12, did Judas leave yet? He washed 12 grown men's funky feet. Yep. 12 grown men's funky feet, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of everything, breath of life. He didn't think that was too much of above him. So when you want to claim that you're it, for anybody listening over here, when you want to claim this way of life, There's more to it. Just I'm black. I'm an Israelite, my brother. Like some of them brothers, angry cousins, and some of them, they distant angry cousins. That's always jumping in them scriptures, twisting them, like Peter said in 2 Peter 3:15-17. Out of destruction, to fit their what they believe with their word, exegesis instead of exegesis, properly interpretation of the word, line upon line, precept upon precept, like Isaiah say, here little, that's whom should teach. But they want to take things just to fit they thing. No, you can't do that. You got to do thus said the Lord. So they had to examine themselves. You want to call yourself a teacher? I think Peter, no, Timothy or Titus warn you, oh, it's a heavy call for you to be a teacher. Yeah, everybody, I'm a teacher. Yeah, you better know. I don't even tell people that I'm a teacher so much. When they first meet me, I'm like, eh, I'm a believer. What are you? I'm a child of God. Me too. No, you ain't a child of God like me. What's your faith? I believe in God. The same thing, Moses. But teaching purposes, because I don't want to lose them. I say, Yahshua, like who? Or the Messiah? You mean Jesus? I'm the same as him. You do the same things he do, though. So, oh, me too. What you say? Nothing. But that's what we have to realize. Everybody want to jump up, say they're teaching and all that. It's a heavy weight. And what 1 Peter chapter 3 say? 1 Peter 3:17 or 18 or whatever. He say, judgment starts in the household of God first. So everybody out there want to be, I'm a Hebrew Israelite teacher. I'm high priest of Kentucky. And all this type of stuff, yeah, you better examine yourself. You better calm down, brother, and get a little humility. And remember that dirt. You might want to read that account of Passover when he got up, washed them 12 grown men's funky feet. It wasn't beneath him. Yeah. It wasn't beneath him to take with this season going on now. Came down. It wasn't no city hospital. I was born in the city. No, yeah, we in Baltimore, Maryland. No John Hopkins Bayview Hospital. Oh, what was a good one when my son was born 28 years ago? Oh, GBMC, Greater Baltimore Medical Center Hospital. They do good childbirth, a Union Memorial, a MedStar. Wasn't none of them. He was born in a feeding trough, what they call a manger. You'll see him as you drive around now, wherever you may be listening. And boom, I walked through last night. Just get out, give me some fresh air in the saddle. Got a little manger. He was busted, man. Look at that. He came and was born in a manger with animals. The creator of the heavens and earth. Did he come down and big himself up and say, no, I need Gucci sheets, you know. I need, well, you know, wasn't no Gucci then. Egypt was around, nothing new under the sun. I need some silk Egyptian satin sheets. You know who I am? I'm coming now. Yeah, he ain't do all that. I need some goose. I can't do goose because that's an unclean animal. I need some sheepskin pillow mattresses. Yeah, for my baby crib. Nah, you live with some animals, some funky animals. Yeah, if he can do that, good. Give him a mug. Kind of like our ancestors. Y'all remember that Egyptian? They said the Egyptians despised the Hebrews. It hurts me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, man. Apologize. I went off on that one. Whoa, 424. Okay, so we talked about this man and Antioch Epiphanes, what he did when he came through, right? So we see, like, right now in modern-day times right now, the same thing. Nothing new under the sun. You Hellenization of people. You cause the Hellenization, you know, making people be the people that's like as myself and my IPs and my brothers and my sisters and my occults, people that I don't even notice that's trying to follow the ways of the Most High, following His Torah, His Bible. You're making them be, what's the word I'm looking for? You're making them look unfavorable. Because we're striving to keep the laws and commandments and the statutes of the Most High, and His traditions, His customs. So making us look ill will to people, to other groups. People looking frown down on us and laughing. Look at them. Look at them. He got tassels. He thinks he's Jewish. Look at her with her face. Thinks she's a Muslim or what? You don't even know right there. You're wrong, baby. Yeah, but that's what people don't understand. Make us look ill. We're looking going out on a surgery. you know, all the good college football he's missing, basketball or whatever, or good sales or shopping sales. Yeah. Sunday is the day. I go on a Sunday. Yep. You keep on going. Only time you're going to see me and my brothers and sisters on a Sunday is one of Yahweh holy days fall on that. And one of them fall every year. It's called Shavuot in Hebrew. It's called Pentecost. Uh-huh. So you make us look unfavorable. And what came to my mind was that the Hellenization Jew, and so you cause a conflict, there's a conflict towards people that do things and don't, because like we have a conflict amongst our own so-called Hebrew Israelite brothers and sisters. Unheard of. That's what the Bible there to straighten up anything. Like, hold up, bro, we have, hey, how do you actually, or hold up, brother. No, that's not what it means. See, it means that was the Babylonian Hebrew and all that. Get out of here, man. You're going to do ways the most side, get out of here. So if we see that come up in our modern times, in our New Testament, Acts chapter 6. See, what the heck, what you mean? Discrepancy and Hellenization. Remember Acts chapter 6, verse 1? It was some widows who said they felt like they was ostracized, overlooked by the regular, you know, the Jews. And people say they homegrown Jews. Remember, because these people was new converts, right? And the daily serving the food, they felt like, and that's what they had to institute deacons. That's what brother named Stephen and them come in to serve tables, whatever. They keep a peace and an order in that. Because some of the people was ostracized. Because and their own people had ill will on them. You supposed to welcome them with love and kindness. You supposed to be happy, the brother or sister, leaving out of the hell of those ways of, that weren't the ways of Yahweh. You don't greet them with look at her or him. No, you're supposed to be glad he left them baby elements, them gods, them false gods of imagination and idols. What they had back then, Diana, we read about in the book of Ephesians. They had all these temples and stuff Paul's talking about. They had so many temples I think it was the Greek Pantheon or something. They had so many temples. They even made a image to a god and put on there, even to a god, if we miss you. To the god, if we miss you, we apologize. Paul said, ho, bro, you can read that in Acts. Boom. He said, bro, I see you're very religious, but you're wrong. He said, bro, you ain't got to go through all that. There's only one God, hallelujah, one faith and one baptism, one law, one commandment stuff, hallelujah. All right, let me speed up on this. I'll tell you time. Okay, and then, like I said, the book of Maccabees, you find that first Maccabees chapter. You Google that, get that first Maccabees chapter 4, verse 36 to 69. You will hear about that story. And in that story, like I said, that guy came along and did those things, discretion. That's what created the temple on the 25th day of Kislev. Ain't that funny how Satan is a counterfeit? The 25th, the day is what? The 25th of what? December, it's supposed to be what? The birth of Christ. Christ in the Greek, that means Christ, the anointed one. Supposed to be his birthday. How special. Anybody find that, I give you $1,000. I'm a cash app because I don't want you to rob me. And you give me your cash app or whatever. I ain't going to give you my address. Let me make sure my location cut off on this phone. This technology, I heard it. Make some ops come at you. We even got ops probably in this word. But anyway, don't get mad at me. It's just the word I'm delivering. I'm not making up. Yeah, I give you $1,000. You find a day of his birthday. Yeah, the Son of God birthday in the Bible. In the Bible. Yeah, okay. So the 20, and then also what you see on these things, now you see all these lights. And I told you when I was walking last night, I said, ain't it amazing? You see reindeers, 12 reindeers, mangers, little babies, Frosties, Santa Clauses. And I ain't see nan manure while I was walking. Nan manure. Manure is a seven black candlestick. You'll read about that in Exodus chapter 25. And you'll read about it later on in Exodus, book of Exodus. And you read about it in Revelation chapter 1 and 2. I ain't see none of that at all. But I've seen all this other stuff. And 90% of them people will tell you they Christian. They good Bible-believing Christian. And say, it's the birth of the Messiah. You prove it. You can't even prove that. But Hanukkah, you can prove that story in John 10:22, called the Feast of Dedication. And the story of Hanukkah comes in what it points to. It was a defilement of the temple. And Judas Maccabees, he had five sons. And his first son, oldest son named Judas, meant Hamlet. He named him Hamlet. And he went on a campaign that his father died. He took over. And but like I said, the interesting thing about that story, I never read, they only read that part in 1 Maccabees chapter 4. But if you go to 2 Maccabees chapter 10, I'm going to read this in your hand. It goes like this. It gives you more of a detail of something. Because see, in this story, it tells you about the candelabra, the menorah, like I said. Yahweh gave the instruction to Moshe in the book of Exodus. Apologize, I don't have any verses for you. How to make those instruments. Remember I told you the holy vessels of God that this guy in 15 took out, who calls for the manifestation of God. And Nebuchadnezzar took one time, so you understand what I'm saying? And then we see somebody in 70 AD when the temple was destroyed and never been rebuilt, leaving with that 7-6 menorah. This the legend in this thing is, say it was an 8-stick menorah. I can't go with that. Because see, in the scriptures tell you, I think it's Timothy and Titus said, be careful of wise fables, Jewish fables. That's a Jewish fable, because why no account of that? Well, why not, brother? It's 8 days of Hanukkah. You said it. But yeah, it might be 8 days of Hanukkah, but it's 7 candlestick menorah that Yahweh made. And if Yahshua said, I'm the light of the world, he said it's 7 of them. And I stand and hold them in Revelation chapter 1, chapter 2. So if he said that's what it is, and then he tells the priest, Leviticus chapter, I think it's chapter 2, whatever, and in Exodus, say you light them every day to show that the light of the world goes. So, and then also the legend is that you light a candle, one candle a day. I got you, R.P. Ivy. I saw that text, man, but I was busy and doing something. I seen you put 7 with an explanation one or question mark or somebody had a 9-stick candle there. I was with you, R.P. Apologize, took so long, but it came out. You right, Yahweh said 7, not 8, like I seen 8 on certain things. Not 9, because it was 8 days of Hanukkah. The middle one is called a shemesh. I was saying it wrong, my Hebrew teacher correct, but that's a servant candle that points to Yahshua, which I'm the light of the world. He gives everybody a light. But it's only 7, so in that one candle at a time, if you're going to this Hanukkah point of rededication of the temple, because that's what the Maccabees brothers did. They got it right back 3 years later. The same, they got the file on the 25th of Kislev. And guess what? They got it back after having guerrilla warfare and fighting. You got to fight sometimes. But you ain't fighting, but it shows that little army. They live in West Modin. I'm going to pull that up where that's at. Where West Modin, that's northwest Jerusalem. That's where the Maccabees brothers lived at. Five priests. They beat the Grecian mighty forces. Because while they didn't beat it, just like Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, the Second Chronicles, and not just him, Hezekiah, other kings. Yahweh fights these battles. Yahweh fights, but he's been fighting, he continue on fighting. He beat Egypt. That's the one we should never forget. You got people talking about, my sister talking about, I got to get back with her, it's teaching over. My sister talking about, I can't prove his birthday, but I know he came, and that's the most important focal point. That's a good point. He came, but I'm going to challenge that to anybody in my listening ears. He was born. But if he didn't live the life that he lived and portrayed and obeyed every law and commandment of the Most High to show that man can live a sinful life according to if he just follow, obey the law, commandments, and statutes of the Most High, that his commandments are not grievous, like, what is it, 1 John 3:4, 1 John 5:3. Listen in your scriptures. Google it. Google help me find anything now. I apologize for not knowing that. I didn't know it was going to go that way. But that's what he came and lived and do. That if you obey them laws and statutes and commandments, it's nothing too hard for you to do. Because why Yahweh said ain't nothing too hard for him. And he wouldn't give you something too hard that you're unable to do. He's not that kind of God. And what he do, his son came and laid, not only lived that way for 33 and a half years, some say 35, but he lived away, and he laid down his life as a sacrifice before the creation of mankind that God said he would be the only willing, honorable sacrifice that he would accept. So yeah,
his birth, he had to be born. But if he didn't live the way he lived with no sin, and if he didn't die the way he did on the 14th of Abib in the book of Exodus to show you that, that's the most important date and holiday in the world. My son said that 4 years ago when I was teaching him something. I was sharp he caught it. He just graduated college. Said, oh, my goodness. It paid off. But flesh and blood ain't give him that. Them college instructors ain't give him that. What he say? Who they say again, Peter? John the Baptist, he is the back on. You Jeremiah, you Isaiah. Who you say I am? I've been with you. Oh, hallelujah. I know we going with this right at the understanding. Who do you say I am? You the Messiah. You the Son of God. Hallelujah, Peter. Flesh and blood ain't give you that. Sitting under feet of Gamaliel, like Paul said, under one of the best teachers in Israel at the time, or going to the house of prophets, they didn't teach you that either. You know, Peter was a fisherman. I'm just using that for example. He said, the Spirit of God revealed and gave you that. So if he wanted you to know his date and celebrate his birthday and all that, he'd have told you what day and what month and date it was. But he definitely told you on the 14th of Abib, you do the Passover. Hallelujah. And that's where it all begins. So that's the most, as my sister is listening, that's the most focal point and moment of all everything, because that's where what? Salvation begins. That's where it begins, accepting that blood. That blood that was on that mantle and the doorpost that you read about in Exodus chapter 12, that's where it begins. His death is more important than his birth. He said, well, if he wasn't born, he wouldn't be. We're not going there with that one. But we know he had to be born. He had to be born to fulfill that. And what did he say out of his own mouth? This is what I was born to do. I said, good. Give him a move. Biggie Smalls stole that. It was a rapper. A rapper that used to be living. He's gone now. But he had an album, his first album. He had a little baby on there. And he said, born to die. But I think Biggie, remember his grandmother, his mother from the island in West Indies. He remembers a little Sunday school and said, I'm going to steal that. He stole that. Because Yahshua said, this is what I was born to do. I'm here. He came looking for him to God. He said, Peter, put down the sword. I'm here. Let's go. And so that's the most important. We're going to get this thing right. Instead of getting caught up in these traditions of man and these fables and these lies. And then if people going to get with it like, well, I don't believe in Christians. You write anything in the Bible. That's man-made, that slid in under whatever, whatever. I believe in the incarnation. Now, hold up. You don't know what day that Mary got incarnated. We get a close account of it. I got sleepy last night because it could be a couple months. Because why? You got to go through those scriptures right in the Bible. And Zachariah, John the Baptist's father, was a priest. And David set up 24 courts of priests in 2 Chronicles chapter 24. And he was under priest, of course, of Abijah, which means that word Abijah means Yahweh is my father. Hallelujah. But that was the eighth course. So that means that he was in the eighth month, which is bull. Or what course? But then you got to realize, there's courses they do, what they do. The beginning of the year, our year is what? Passover, March and April. So right now, in the seventh month, we got three more months before our new year. And so the spring comes. So he could have been a priest, because his job was just light incense. That's when he was at the altar of incense, like incense. And the angel Gabriel, that's in the Bible, Luke chapter 2, I believe. Zechariah's name is God Remembers. Ain't that funny? He named him that. And God remember what? God remember him and Elizabeth couldn't have no kids. They was well in old age, stricken, they was praying for kids. And that was his duty to light incense that time. He sent Gabriel in there. So was he doing that during the Feast of Passover? Was he... his 2 weeks of light incense during the Feast of Shavuot, and three times a year, priest, man, all man must come to the temple. Or was he doing it during the Feast of Tabernacle, which is in Isanin, the seventh month? See, so when you're going to try to do the incarnation, because you can't have the birth, you got to know which one. And you got to do some work with that. And the Holy Spirit will reveal that and let you know which one. But I'm sure it's in there. I'm sure you can kind of, with the help of the Holy Spirit, will show you there ain't nothing possible. But to waste your time and to get through all of that, to worry about some incarnation time, I think you better stick with the 14th of Abib. All right, let me, what time is it? 4:43. I ain't made a get in there. just give me some light on this subject. Okay. I said I was going to tell you what Modine would have. You can look that up on your own time. West Modine, that was northwest of Jerusalem. I think Modine was, just northwest of Jerusalem. That's where the Maccabees lived at. Okay, so now we got him, got the temple defiled and all that. And like I said, on the 25th, Akisla, 3 years from the date that it was desecrated, Judas Maccabees and him won the battle, the guerrilla warfare, because God who helped you win these battles. And they took the temple back, and they started to rededicate the temple, So they started to do what? They started to get the instruments back, make another a manure, you know, seven stick kind of manure. What else? The shoe bread table. Remember, the instruments got stolen in and desecrated, just like it was doing Nebuchadnezzar's times. So he made and got all those things. And so the next thing, but the account that came to my mind was 2 Maccabees chapter 10. I'm going to read that. It said, now Maccabees and his company got let me put it under the light. Maccabees and his company, Yahweh guided them to recover the temple and the city. That's 2 Maccabees chapter 10. But the altar, which the heathen, that's that guy, Epiphanes, called something, I mean, manifest of God, had defiled, had built in the open streets, and also the chapel was pulled down. And having cleansed the temples, made another altar, this Maccabees and his brother. Striking stones, they took fire out of them and offered sacrifice after 2 years and set forth incense and lights and shoe bread things. And when that was done, they fell flat down and besought Yahweh that they might come to no more to such trouble, but if they sinned any more against him, that himself would chasten them with mercy, and that it might not be delivered until the blasphemous and barbarous nations. That's what Yahweh calls anybody against him. Verse 5, now upon the same day that the strangers profaned the temple, that's the 25th of Kislev, the temple was cleansed again. And they kept, this is it, verse 6, and they kept 8 days with gladness as in the Feast of the Tabernacles, remembering that none long before they had held the Feast of the Tabernacles, when as they, I can't even see this, I highlight it, when as they was wandering in the mountains, and then like beasts. So if you hear right there, I always wondered, I've never seen this. I always wondered, why was the Feast of Hanukkah 8 days? Why was it just the 25th? That right there was the reason why. You said, what you mean? At 2 Maccabees chapter 10, verse 6, because they held it 8 days to remembrance of the Feast of Tabernacles. So what that got to do with it? Feast of Tabernacles was held in the seventh month. They couldn't do the Feast of Tabernacles for like 3 years because why? Antioch the fifth, the fourth Epiphany came and desecrated and prevented them from keeping the Sabbath and all their holy feast days. And they was in mountains and running around. If anybody know what the Feast of Tabernacles, you can find it in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 33 to 44. That's a joyous time for how many days? For 7 days, from the 15th to the 21st. That's a seven-day feast that you give honor. You leave your permanent dwelling, and you live in temporary dwellings, which that's why we go stay in tents. And for 7 days, that's a thanksgiving to Yahweh. His way he called thanksgiving, not how we do Thanksgiving one day, the last Thursday in the month. So that's why the Feast of Hanukkah was 8 days. And because like Rabbi brought out yesterday, that's how I got to see more of this. Hallelujah. It's beautiful. Rabbi said it's 8 days. So why? He said, brother, you just said from the 15th to the 21st. That's true. But the 8th day is the last day of the Feast of Tabernacle and the last day of the Holy Spirit. Did I do that right? 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Yep. 8 days. So it's for 8 days because of that. Not because of some oil. I'm going to say that's a Jewish myth or fable or legend, because we can't find that in the scriptures. No, we can't find that in the Maccabees, other written accounts. But we can find that, and we can see if that has any light in it. Because we know about the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 7, therefore they bear branches and boughs and palms, also sang psalms unto him that had given them their good success in cleaning the place. So we see right there those branches and palms, that's what God commanded them to do when you did the Feast of Tabernacles. You got myrtle branches. You'll find it, like I said, Leviticus chapter 23 to 44, palms. And you did that to build your sukkah. A tent was where he dwelt. Verse 8, they ordained also a common stature and degree that every year those days should be kept of the whole nation of Jews. And this was the end of Antioch called Epiphanes. Now will we declare the acts of Antioch Epiphanes, who was one of the sons, this wicked man gathering briefly the commulation of wars. So when he was come to crown set one, license over the affairs of his realm and appointed the chief governor of Cleo. So yes, that's it on that. So now we know those things was a myth. So because we see, like I said, it's been declared that the 8 days, according to a legend that you know, the Maccabees came up to the temple and they found only one church of concentrated oil that still was intact with a priest seal, because I did some research, that's how the oil had to be. Which lit the eternal flame of the menorah. And the myth goes, because we can't find it, to say that the oil miraculously lasted for 8 days, allowing enough time for more consecrated oil to be produced. The story is not found nowhere in the earliest accounts of these events. So 9 out of 10 is fictitious and was added to Hanukkah to help the holidays observance, but there was no need to do that, because why? That's getting into, what did I say, eisegesis, making something fit the twist, and what's that word? Appropriation. So there's a culture thing, something just to, you know, make it go better. There was no need to add that. The miracle was that they defeated the Grecian army, little Maccabees guerrilla warfare people, with the help of Yahweh, faithful people. That's the real miracle of the story. He delivered them from the oppressors. And so we have people now, they want to push that. That's why it's about the oil. No, it's not about the oil. It's about getting Yahweh ways back, turning back to Yahweh, rededicating his temple. But now what we got to get into now, I'm going to touch real quick, it's almost 5 o'clock, that right now what happens is, it's observed 8 days. It's observed by American Jews. You know, we live in America. People live in America. And it's a joyous time where Hanukkah should be about meals, family gatherings, and you know, playful activity for your children. And I'm a big child, too. Thanks to Brother Aki Avi, I'm going out Friday, Tuesday or something. I'm going to the store and buy me something called Trimonos. Trimonos, like dominoes, but it's Trimonos. I never knew how to play dominoes. I know how to play Trimonos. I don't wish to know how to play dominoes. I don't mean to offend anybody now, stopping the dominoes. But thanks, Brother Hobby. And he beat us almost every game, even sleep. Brother Garfield came back the last game, and we went out on our last two pieces. Brother Garfield put his piece down, and when he got up the mess, Brother Hobby said, let me see your piece. And Brother Hobby said, you will go right here, so you really want, you guys want help. Nice little game, basically. That's what this time is supposed to be for. You can work during this time, you know. Hanukkah, customary, is the lighting of the candelabras, they call it, I say the menorah. And like I said, there's no sense that that's something added. Now, that's a man-made added thing with this, because why is only a 7-stick candelabra? Brother Ariel brought this out years ago when he taught his class on this during the Hebrew culture. During this time of year, he was up. doing his lesson. It was called a Hanukkah, a nine candlestick. No. So Brother Akiyaz, I know where you're coming from with that. You're absolutely right, it's seven. And the thing, like people in my job tell me, or when I go to purchase my candles for my menorah, they go, oh, you're getting this for a Hanukkah? I say, yeah. I say, my menorah. I say, oh, that's right, because Hanukkah's coming. I know about that. I did it when I was little. You light one candlestick every night. I said, nah, that's what you might have done. I light all seven, because that's what Yahweh prescribed for it to be. Don't add to the word like damn well, and don't take away from the word, not even for a festival or feast. Keep it so it can be acceptable by the will of Yahweh. Because what you can be doing, hallelujah, you can add lighting these one candle a night on a seven stick. But no, I'm going to keep it real. Honestly, I got seven, but I still like one a night. And okay, then on the eighth day, I light all of them. Or you get that eight stick one or that nine stick one. If that's all you got is the eight or nine one, just light seven. All seven every 7 days. Well, now you ain't got no choice. Just don't light the eighth one or the ninth one. Light seven, because the night of sunset, when I finish off this broadcast, like another 10 minutes from right now, the sun is setting. It's going to be the eighth day and last day of Hanukkah. And it's also going to be the second of Tibet, the second day of the 10th month, the new moon. You light all of them because why what you may be doing? Well, ain't no you may be doing. What you're doing, you're lighting up strange fire. And you'll hear a account about strange fire in the book of Leviticus. Aaron had two sons. Well, Aaron had four sons. Abihu and Abihu. My brother's name. He had two older sons, Abihu and Abihu. They went in light strange fire before the altar. And Yahweh consumed them with fire and burned them up. And they died. And so that left Aaron with just his other two younger sons, which you heard of, Eleazar, who became a priest, and Ithamar. They offered strange fire. So that's why we had to be careful, even with we're doing the right thing, and we got a menorah, and it's Hanukkah in 8 days. So you get the 8 day candle there. I mean, or the Hanukkah menorah. No, there's no such thing as a Hanukkah menorah. Man made that up. So even in our way, it's like Christians have traditions of man. We do too. We have to be careful. You light all seven, first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, seventh day. All seven you light. And if you got one with eight or nine, you just light seven. Yahweh, he's an understandable God until you can find a seven stick with no more. Okay, what else? And like I said, you'll see trees all up in people's front window. Like I said, everything decorated, all on these front porch. I ain't seen a menorah since I walked around. I guess if I caught the bus and run up Park Heights, I might see some. But I know if I go up Park Heights, that's where a Jewish a community is. A Jewish brothers up there, they call themselves Orthodox, all black. They're going to have them 8 and 9 ones on their mom because they do things or they custom. But that's what I'm just trying to say, though. So we have to be careful. What else? Okay, now we rolling home. There can be no doubt. We understand that in this month, they coming in the same month, Hanukkah and Christmas. And they occur around the same time. Because the last day this time is past. And it's difficult for most Jewish people because living in the midst of this world, this Gentile world, this Hellenization world, Hanukkah in the same season, you around. And your children, because people always say it's for the kids. You're around Christmas carols, Santa Claus, like I told you, Frosty, Rudolph, and all that. Now, ain't nothing wrong with no dead, though. Because you eat dead, that's on the clean food list. But, you know, he should be. You know, how they got this thing all up in there. Get Rudolph dancing on bad vibe. Associating them with evil. It has been hard not to incorporate just a little bit of Christmas spirit in the Hanukkah. What I mean by that, some people in America, they're what you call, it's hard to resist that temptation. So a little cup, they go to work, appreciation or appropriation. They install things like associated around Christmas. Christmas, you give gifts. I used to give gifts. Yeah, you know, and so people will give, some people give gifts on the first day of Hanukkah, you know, and then some people give gifts, a gift each day, out of the 8 days of Hanukkah, which you should not incorporate that with that reason why I'm saying this, so it don't, the Maccabees, Judas Maccabees and his son, the handler, what they work won't go in vain. And what how do I mean by in vain? Because appreciation, you remember the definition, does not mean appropriation. Remember they gave me the definition, I wrote it down, because appropriation leads to confusion, a loss of identity, and ultimately assimilation. And assimilation is what the Maccabees, remember Judas and them, and generations of Jews after them fought hard to prevent. And remember I talked about Esther, Mordecai, you know, they had to fight and beat Haman, you know, in the book of Esther, because we can get annihilated. And other accounts, well, King Hezekiah, remember he had to fight. Who else would I tell you? Don't have to fight. Remember, we always had to fight. So when we do these things like that, remember Deuteronomy chapter 32:29. He said, don't associate anything with those other gods with me. So even something like this, let's not even get that. You can give gifts any day. You can give gifts any day. And this is the time to tell your family, we don't do this because of this. It's sort of just like another time to, like how you, and you can read the account of Exodus, the Passover. When he says, when your children ask you why you do this, you sit down and tell them what Yahweh did. You go in the book of Exodus. You can start at Exodus and come use Exodus during the Feast of Hanukkah and say, this is why we don't do those things. Because you don't want to have it. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to kind of like let it creep into your home. And it has nothing to do, because you're being a witness for people. Because Christmas shouldn't be in a Hebrew home anyway. Right? So that's why we don't want to do that type of thing. You shouldn't want to do that type of thing. And now we're going to close this thing up. I've never seen this like this. Nah, what time? Dang it, 4:58. Hey, give me 15 minutes, fam. Is that cool? I might cut off. But anyway, John chapter 22. We all can confess that Yahshua never said anything just to be said. And we learn from our spiritual leader, Rabbi Ben Gershon. Isn't it ironic, isn't it interesting that Yahshua was walking through the temple of Solomon during Hanukkah, and he declared some of the, in John chapter 10, verse 30, he declared that he and God the Father were the same nature. We were talking about that yesterday, Rabbi Yaphel, he asked, well, some things Brother Daywell brought out, let us make man in our image. And Brother Ivy said some things. And he said, I and the Father are one. At the same time he said that during the Feast of Hanukkah. And so what did they want to do? They wanted to stone him. Remember what he told them? You can read that account in John chapter 10, starting at verse 22. John 10:30, he told them. He declared, because they said, well, tell us who you are. And they wanted to stone him because why? Remember, they said, he said, believe the works that I do, is him that sent me. And they said, we're going to stone you not because of the works, because you said you God. Remember, in the Jews' mind, they remember Antixias, the fourth epiphany. Remember, his name was God manifest. So that stirred up a little something in them, some little zealous, but they knew what they was doing. And so he wasn't no coincidence or whatever. He proclaimed and said that right in front of them during the Feast of Tabernacles to let them know. So it was a challenge. What Yahshua was telling them, he's basically saying, you might not like what I say, but I can back it up with my life. Like I said, telling my sister, Passover, the most important thing. Him coming, yeah, that's cool, but back in his life. He said, and look at my life, examine my life, respect. Now accept it if you want. But you got to be honest and get around and say that he is what he say, I am who I say that I am, the son of the Messiah. So he also was God in the flesh. That's who he was. So that's why we have to understand what this season of Hanukkah points to. Rededicating ourselves back to the way of the Torah, even if we may slip out a little bit.